It's kind of creepy. Quiet.
I know.
It's not being quiet.
The Time Traveling Robots in Space is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
The Time Traveling Robots in Space podcast starts now.
Hey, it's Thursday, November 15th, 2012, and welcome to another Galactic Netcast. This is the Time Traveling Robots in Space number 50. We've reached 50, people.
Woo!
This is the longest running podcast I've ever run, so yay.
Congratulations. Yay for us. From Waterloo, Iowa, I'm Dave Nelson. Joining me, as always, is Glendale, California's very own Paul Swickard. Any crazy Glendale? Glendale! I had just had a southern accent Glendale. There for a second. Glendale. Yeehaw. Glendale stories this week.
Well, we didn't try to secede from the Union, so there's that. I guess that's a point in our favor.
Yes.
Some kid, this is more visual than anything else, but I heard him, I saw this kid, he was talking, I don't know why he decided to do this, but you know how normal people put a phone up to their ear and their mouth at the same time.
Yes.
But this kid apparently was too cool to do that, so what he did is, when he had to hear what was going on, he went like this, this phone. I'm putting the phone horizontally next to my ear. And when he had to talk, he had to go like this.
I've seen people do that, and I don't understand why.
Was he on
that?
Was he on the speakerphone?
It's
a freaking pizza that you're about to eat. But he spoke like this, listened like this, and he had to keep going back and forth because it like was an argument or something.
Was he on the speakerphone?
No, I don't think so. Like, I didn't hear it, so I'm assuming not.
Weird.
I would try to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe the batteries are going out, maybe the phone is shot, whatever. But, dude, I looked at him, and I'm just like, are you for real? Like, this is real. You're doing this.
Was he trying to project?
I've seen a couple do that. A couple of people do that.
Was he projecting the audio from his phone out to an audience? Was there other people listening?
Maybe in his head. Nobody else was listening, though.
Maybe he had gum
on.
No
one else cared.
Maybe there was dirt on the phone. He didn't want to get his ear dirty.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Another story.
Okay.
Sorry, Anessa, this is a little weird. And this is happening in a place where I work. I've never seen anything like this. I go into the men's room, and I just hear, there's this other dude in there, and I just hear this rolling of toilet paper. Just kept going, on and on and on and on and on. Just like, what the hell is going on? And I see these piles of toilet paper in the handicap stall. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? And apparently what he was doing, I saw the aftermath.
Wow.
He was trying to cover every surface of the toilet and the toilet around him.
Holy cow.
So, shoes. Yeah. Like, just everything had to be covered. That was his deal.
Oh, and, man.
Yeah. And he left it there. Like, there's just this mountain of paper. It's just there.
Couldn't he have just taken a can of Lysol and sprayed everything down first?
I don't know. I don't understand.
That guy's got some serious germ issues.
Wow.
And you know what's funny is I don't know who he is. Like, I never actually saw his face. I know what his shoes look like.
Were you looking towards the ground the rest of the day, Paul?
Oh man. I didn't know what do you say?
Yeah.
Like, where does the social contract kick in here?
And do you want to know the person? Do you want to know who it was, you know?
I want to know if there's a method to the madness. I want to know if there's some sort of reality here that I'm like not privy to, like maybe there's something going on that I just don't know.
Yeah.
But it
Okay.
Anyway, Those are my. You get a two for today, people.
No,
we were gone last.
Well, yeah, you made up for lost time. So, meanwhile, in Denton, Texas, what do you got for us, Anessa? Anything interesting?
We were voted the number one small town, apparently, by Business Insider.
Whoa!
In America.
That's awesome.
But I don't think we're all that small. Got like a population of 113,000, so I didn't really think that was very small.
Well, I think compared to like very, very large metropolitan areas, that's pretty small. But aren't you pretty much considered Dallas-Fort Worth? Fort Worth?
We're a suburb of Dallas and Fort Worth.
Hmm. So, interesting.
I don't know. We're like 30, 35 miles up the road from each. So, but yeah, it was an interesting article to read because apparently they voted at some point within the past couple of years or so that Denton rated number four for best food places, and that is so not the case. I don't know who they had judging, but all I can say is when I moved up to North Texas, I was really disappointed in the food.
Yeah.
Flavor.
What are your tastes? Like, what are you into? Are you not? Do you not like the Mexican food?
Oh, no, I like Mexican food. It's just apparently all the Mexicans that can cook decided to stay in San Antonio, Houston. And all the ones that couldn't cook, they came up to North Texas.
Well, I'm guessing the farther away you get from Mexico itself, the worse the Mexican food is, right?
Not necessarily, because I've had friends that have gone up north that claim that they've had really awesome Mexican food. And these are people that have fairly decent taste in Mexican food. So, I don't know. Maybe they just skipped North Texas and kept going north.
Maybe it's just hit and miss, you know.
Maybe. I don't know. There are some places that aren't bad, but they're not awesome.
So, got it.
Maybe I'm just...
Hey, how about we talk about time travel robots in space? How's that sound? That's what this show is.
Eating Mexican food.
And Mexican food. And weird places to live. Okay, so
yes.
Our subject, time travel, robots in space. We talk about it and we break it down into a bunch of different segments. We do a story from each, and then we discuss our entertainment picks and ask the question of the week. And I know Paul is very excited because we're going to talk about a lot of Star Wars this episode. So are you ready? Are you excited about that, Paul?
Oh, dude. Like, I kind of feel bad because we were out when that story broke.
Yeah, I know.
That's huge. I mean, everybody knows about it by now, but we need to talk about
it.
Like, we absolutely, like, dude.
Yeah, it's a must.
Dude.
We wouldn't be doing our job if we didn't talk about it.
I know. What kind of freaking time travel robots in space podcast is this if we can't freaking talk about that?
Yeah. All right, so
does it get any bigger?
No, it's one of the biggest stories of the year, or the decade, half century, possibly. Well, maybe not that big.
This is what podcasts were made for.
Yes. All right, so for our audio subscribers, if you'd like to see us record the show, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+. You'll get notified and where and when you can watch us. So let's get the show on the road and talk about this.
Sector 1, time travel.
All right, so Leonardo DiCaprio's production company has had a feature film adaptation of The Twilight Zone in the books for a while. It's been in development for a couple of years. But little was known about the project until recently. Details are now emerging that the story will involve a trip through time and space. Not just time, but time and space. Vulture reports that the script, which was handed off to writer Joby Harold this summer, will feature an astronaut test pilot who breaks the speed of light only to find that he arrives back home 96 years after he left. This won't be Harold's first time-traveling rodeo. I didn't write that. He's also one of the screenwriters for Tom Cruise's adaptation of the time-looping novel All You Need Is Kill. Vulture calls this part the Looper Effect, crediting Looper's success with the rise in upcoming time travel movies. Although I'm going to I'm going to debate that Tom Cruise movie is time travel. I think it's a different animal altogether. It's not really time travel.
I don't know anything about it. What is that?
That's the one where he's fighting aliens and he dies. It's kind of like a Groundhog Day thing where he dies and then he comes back to life, or he doesn't really come back to life, but he repeats the same day. He repeats the day he gets killed over and over again, getting to become a better, like, fighter each time, a better soldier each time.
That is Groundhog Day.
Yeah, it is. But
what it reminds me of that Jake Gyllenhaal joint, which his name escapes me now.
Oh, on the train. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget. I totally am blanking on the name. But yeah, that it kind of reminds me of that little deal. You keep doing it over and over and over again.
So this Tom Cruise movie could be sort of time travel, because that was time travel in a way, right?
The Gyllenhaal joint?
Yeah.
I really don't know what else to call it. not in the purest sense of the word. Should I spoil this? I feel bad if I spoil this for people.
Go ahead. It's been a while since that movie came out. If they get spoiled, that's fine.
Yeah, I liked it as a movie. It was pretty good. It was a collective, what he was experiencing was a collective sort of hive mind of all the people that were on the train when it blew up. So they essentially compiled a list of memories that he could experience in a three-dimensional world that would allow him to sort of not unlock, but kind of discover his own experiences with this whole thing, so he could find out who actually blew up the train.
And
he was essentially dead.
Yeah.
So it wasn't traveling back in time. It was just it was him experiencing the sensation of going back in time over and over again.
It was Source Code, by the way.
Source, that's right.
Yeah.
Source Code.
And wasn't he in the future and that train blowing up? That was in the past, right? Or was it the same time period?
It was... Well, wait. Was this set in the future, or was this...
No, was he in the future, and did he go back in time?
No.
Okay.
No, this is all at pretty much the same time frame.
Okay, all right.
I believe.
So, I have a question, though. This whole Twilight Zone story sounds very familiar. Did they do this in an episode of the Twilight Zone? The astronaut breaking the speed of light and then coming back to an Earth that was farther in the future? This sounds familiar.
It does sound familiar. Of course, all Twilight Zone things sound a little bit familiar. Like, hey, there was those pig people. You remember them? Yeah, that was totally on Twilight Zone. So yeah. There you go.
Those pig people. Remember those? The noses and stuff? Anessa, are you a fan of Twilight Zone?
I am a fan of Twilight Zone, although it's been a really long time since I've watched the episodes or the movies, I guess. But yeah, I do like the Twilight Zone. And this does sound familiar. It actually reminds me of a short story that I read at one point. But instead of being like way far in the future, they come back in time to see themselves die. It was really weird.
Okay. I want to say that this...
Oh, you might be thinking... might be thinking there was an episode called The Odyssey of Flight 33,
mm-hmm.
where they broke the sound barrier.
Okay.
And that caused some weirdness happening.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I thought it was either The Twilight Zone or... What was another one of those serial TV shows? Outer Limits, I think?
Oh,
yeah, Outer Limits.
That's possible.
Yeah.
Man, Outer Limits. I haven't seen that forever.
Yeah, that's a great show. So... This is not going to be like a bunch of like episodes into a movie. This is going to be one movie. Like, remember the Twilight Zone movie that came out back in the 1980s? It was a bunch of short stories. This is just going to be one long story, it sounds like.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it probably works best. Well, I don't know. They did. What was that? Was it the greatest story that ever told? Something like that. It was some Spielberg joint where they had three.
No.
Stories. No.
It was Amazing Stories. And it was
Amazing Story.
It was,
yeah, it was three episodes essentially, all looped into one film.
Well, that was a movie that they made off the series, but the series was one story per episode.
Sure, sure. So I would imagine that if you were going to do something similar with Twilight Zone, it could be similar to that.
Yeah.
But
it doesn't sound like they're going to do it. In this
I don't know. I on the one hand like to see something like that because it's unique, but on the other hand, I'm fine with them making a 2-hour film about it.
Yeah, as long as it's a good story, I'm fine with it.
Sure.
You were gonna say something, Anessa? No.
If I was, I don't remember.
And it probably wasn't that important. All right. So
I'll remember it like a really awkward time. It's okay.
You're going to just blurt it out halfway through the episode.
Yeah.
It's Anessa's got Tourette's.
Oh, that's right. Hey.
What'd I do?
Remember when we were talking about Twilight Zone? That one time?
Like that one time on the podcast?
All right, so there you go. That's your time travel story. Anything to add, folks?
I am good.
No.
Okay.
I think I'm good.
All right. Well, let's move on then. Before we do, we would like to get some feedback from you. What do you think about this? Are you excited about this Twilight Zone movie? Let us know. Call our voicemail number. It is 805. I'll say it slowly. 805-328-3966, or you can email us galacticnetcasts, that's netcasts with that last S, at gmail.com. Again, the voicemail number is, you laughing at me, 805-328-3966 or galacticnetcasts at gmail.com. So after time travel, we do this, right?
Settle 2 robots.
And Anessa, I always give Anessa the robot stories. I hope you don't mind.
No, I don't mind. Robots in space seem to be my theme on this show.
Yeah.
So, Hurricane Sandy destroyed houses, cars, and boats, causing some $20 billion in property damage. But one robot rode out the storm at sea without a scratch, as far as its maker can tell. Liquid Robotics said one of its Wave Glide Marine robots named Mercury was 100 miles east of Toms River, New Jersey when Sandy hit, but the machine continued to function. It withstood winds up to 70 knots and continued to transmit real-time weather data about the storm. Being able to provide real-time weather data from the surface and the first layer of water column of the ocean will help scientists better measure and predict hurricane intensity. This can help save lives and prevent property of devastation, said Joanne Masters of Liquid Robotics. Wave glider robots are autonomous monitoring devices that use the ocean's waves for propulsion. Moving wings on the sub turn the wave energy into forward motion. Equipped with GPS, ARM processors, navigation software, and a raft of environmental sensors, gliders are designed as data-gathering machines for research on climate change, resource management, and weather alerts. Over the past year, two pairs of wave gliders have been crossing the Pacific from San Francisco to Australia and Japan, gathering data on water temperature, salinity, dissolved oxygen, and other features, and braving the 8,000 miles of ocean.
Okay, first of all, awesome name, Liquid Robotics. I love that. And secondly, we have robots on our ocean. they're just out there. And they're
just hanging out, and they're around collecting data.
Yeah, and being awesome. And they're using waves as power to propel them forward. That is so cool.
That is really awesome, because you don't have to worry about their battery dying or anything. They just on trucking.
So that's probably the ultimate you know, what developers want to get around to eventually is these robots that don't need to be powered by a battery that needs to be plugged in every night, you know?
Yeah.
Sure. Battery, like, I remember hearing one fellow talk about battery power, and it's kind of the next, at least in the science community or engineering, it's kind of the next big thing that isn't too flashy. Like, people aren't really drawn to it, but it's something that's really sorely needed.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that actually helps that out, I'm totally for.
I think we'll come a day someday where things will be charged by a number of different sources. Like, I think that you'll have cars that are battery operated that will be recharged by solar, wind, and other things as like kind of a combined, maybe have a scoop, like a wind scoop on a car. That'd be kind of awesome.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what you mean. Sure. What is the scoop of which you speak,
well,
sir?
Maybe a scoop that would have like turbines in it. So when you go down the road, the turbines spin and it charges the battery up.
I can see that. Okay. I mean, you're already going, so you're collecting, or yeah, you're having something turn as you're going. So
you would have kind of like a, it wouldn't be an enclosed scoop, obviously. It would be more of a, like an arch kind of deal, where the wind would come in. I don't know what that would do for your aerodynamics. Might screw up.
I was going to say, you're probably going to go pretty slow, though, so it's probably more of a run-around town sort of deal,
yeah,
and not trying to book it on the highway.
A big gust of wind takes you off the road.
Yeah, I can see that being kind of bad, but no, I get what you're saying. One thing that I was actually talking about this evening with some people, and we were out in West Texas about a month ago for an intergeology field trip, and after driving for like 4 hours, you start to see a lot of wind farms. And one thing that I noticed was some of these billboards, they would have like the little wind turbines on top that would, I guess, charge up the battery so that way the light would run at night. So, which I thought was a really cool idea because it's windy. You don't really need to run power lines and waste electricity. You can just have this little windmill turning just enough to charge up the battery.
Oh, I understand.
The battery, so see the billboard.
Oh, I understand. Okay, so they're like,
yeah, so
just,
even, you know, if it's dark, you don't have to worry about solar power because, well, the sun's, you know.
Yeah, and you don't have to run
but
lines or, you know.
Windy. Right, and it's, odds are it's flat and probably going to be windy, so.
West Texas? No, really?
Oh, no, totally filled with mountains. By mountains, I mean hills, and hills are just way west.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was a really neat concept, and if there was some way to harness the wind power into your vehicle without throwing up the aerodynamics too much, I think that would be a really cool thing.
Yeah, just a thought, though. Now, these are pretty cool. I've never really read or learned much about robots that go on the water. I guess this is the first time I've heard of robots that float on the water. Have you heard of robots that float on the water, either of you guys?
I want to say I posted something about this or something similar a while back.
I think I stole your story. I think a story that you posted, I think.
Probably, because I remember a story and posting it somewhere. Thief! That's okay. We needed to talk about it. It's really cool, so
yeah,
it's fine.
And it's hardy.
That's what they're there for.
It survived a hurricane, you know?
It is.
Big hurricane.
And that's the idea, because you can fly your planes out into the storm, but there's always a risk of something going wrong and the plane crashing and people. That's just awful. And so it's a lot safer if you can just have something floating out in the ocean and along comes a hurricane. Or you're like, oh, hey, look, there's this weather disturbance out in the Atlantic. Let's have you float over here where it's more likely going to go. And if the course changes, well, then your course changes, and like there comes a hurricane, and you've got your little robot buddy floating out there collecting data for you, and you don't have to risk lives.
Robot so. Buddy. Hey, buddy.
Robot buddy.
I love
Robo buddy.
I love the name buddy. Hey, buddy. Little buddy.
My little robot buddy. He's hanging out in the ocean, you know, chilling, collecting data. You know what robots do, plotting to take over the world.
Yeah, I know. It's going to happen sooner or later.
Yeah.
All right, any final thoughts before we move on to space?
Robo buddy.
Paul, do you have any innovative ideas to collect energy?
Big ball of gas in the sky that's really close to us that I think we could do something with. There's my contribution.
I think they're working on something for that, I believe.
Something about
no, I, in terms of in terms of real like actual help that I think we could do, absolutely solar is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably at least I don't know. I don't know much about the science behind it, of course, but I think it would strike me as logic probably our best shot at a renewable source of energy for our lifetimes plus, you know, 100,000.
Yep. And because each house, you know, each residence, each building, once they get it perfected, the efficiency of solar panels, each house could have their own. That's the ultimate goal, right? Each house is their own power plant.
Sure. You could do it. I mean, it's possible. It's just a matter of cost and a whole bunch of other things. But yeah, I mean, and this is my position just generally when you talk about stuff like that to get all political and stuff like that. But even if you don't buy into the whole global warming or something like that, I still, even if you didn't buy into that, I still appreciate the idea of being able to not being dependent on only one source of energy. I think diversification is key, and not, you know, screwing up our environment. Anything that pushes us towards that goal, I am totally for. Thumbs up for them.
And cleaner is always better, right? I mean,
yes. Yes. I mean, freaking L.A., man. Like, the smog here can get overbearing.
I can only...
The sad part is you don't realize you're in it.
Yeah, that sucks. All right, that was an interesting turn. I thought we were going to talk about floating robots, but it turned out to be a energy discussion.
Well...
Surprise!
Okay. Yeah. Well, the only robots that I know of that I can remember at the moment is the robots that go under the water. You know, the explorers.
Yeah.
You know, all those robots that go into super deep depths.
Like on SeaQuest, DSV?
Sure. Or Alien, not Alien, The Abyss.
The Abyss, yeah. Cool. All right, so there we go. Before we move on to space... Got to remind you that the time traveling robots in space, I don't know what that was, brought to you by audible.com for you, the Galactic Netcast listener. Audible is offering a free audiobook to check out their service, 30-day free trial. And to go along with the theme of this podcast, may we suggest Star Wars, Heir to the Empire, the Thrawn Trilogy, Book 1. Now, I don't know, I've never read any expanded universe stories. Have you, Paul?
Yes.
Have you
read? Long time ago. Like when I was younger.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Mm. Have you
I read the story that is supposedly, the problem is I don't know what's canon. I read a story essentially that was pretty much right after what happened.
That's this one. That's this one. Yeah.
Okay.
That's
the thing. Oh, there's plenty of content out there. I don't know what they're actually going to go with.
Yeah. See,
again, canon.
yeah, some people say that this is the way they should go. This is the movie that they should make, is the one that would be based on this book. So let me describe the scenario here. 5 years after the Death Star was destroyed and Darth Vader and the Emperor were defeated, the galaxy is struggling to heal the wounds of war. Princess Leia and Han Solo are married and expecting twins, and Luke Skywalker has become the first in a long-awaited line of new Jedi Knights. But thousands of light years away, the last of the Emperor's warlords, the brilliant and deadly Grand Admiral Thrawn, has taken command of the shattered Imperial fleet, readied it for war, and pointed it at the fragile heart of the New Republic. For this dark warrior has made two vital discoveries that could destroy everything the courageous men and women of the Rebel Alliance fought so hard to create. Again, it is Star Wars: Heir to the Empire, the Thrawn Trilogy, Book 1. So this is just the first of three. So, you start listening to this one, you get all excited. When it's done, you get your subscription, you get your paid subscription to Audible, and you get the rest of the books. I mean, how awesome is that? All right. So to download your free audiobook, go to audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Again, that's audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts for your free audiobook. And you know what? Just from my experiences, I was a paid member of Audible for a number of months, and I built up my books, and I stopped with the paid memberships for a while. So that's okay to do that. You know, you get a collection of books. You just, because you stop being a member, they're not going to take those books away from you. You're going to be able to listen to them even if you're not a paid subscriber. So if you want to go that route, that's fine too. But again, go to audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. All right, moving on to space.
Space.
And the story that we've been waiting to talk about. It's all yours, Paul.
It's mine? Is it really? Dave, I don't know if you know this, but Lucas sold Star Wars.
Yeah. I heard something about it.
Mr. George Lucas. Yeah, you may have heard the rumblings goings on in this regard. And you know what's funny about that is that I didn't know that it was pretty much owned by Lucas by himself. Like, it's still just him. Like, mm-hmm. Lucas was Lucas, and, you know, he did what he wanted. Lucas did what Lucas wanted, you know. LB to him. So he actually sold the series known as Star Wars to Disney, among all things. So anyway, we'll get into the nitty-gritty of what this means. Since our last episode, a major story broke, and we are talking about Disney purchasing Lucasfilm from George Lucas, with plans to release Star Wars Episode 7 in 2015.
Now this came.
I would just like to throw it.
No, go ahead, Paul.
Go ahead.
Now I was going to say this came out of the blue. Nobody was expecting this.
Yeah,
this is like the biggest shock.
I'm shocked. I am. Utterly shocked that this did not break before. Like, on the internet, in the age that we live, in all the leaks, a freaking A. How did nobody know this? How did nobody say anything? But I suppose in a way I'm heartened by this. I'm glad this is the case.
Mm-hmm.
Just a quick reminder, 2015, also the Avengers 2 and the Justice League movie.
Oh, it's going to be a huge year.
Yeah. Seriously, that could be one of the biggest years in film, like, in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just based on those three movies. Dude, all right, anyway. the deal is a stock and cash transaction. I did not know this. With Lucas receiving about half of the $4 billion, that's billion with a B, folks, of the deal, plus of the deal in cash, plus some $40 million in stock shares. It broke later that he actually is going to give all of the money to education. I don't know what education, but education. He's giving it to an idea. So yay for that idea. So it, which is kind of awesome. I'm glad, like, you know, he has more money than anybody. But
no, just think of all the good that Bill Gates has done with his money. That George Lucas is going to do the same thing. He's gonna dump it into the public good, and that's anytime anybody does that, that is awesome.
I completely agree. In fact, one of the things that I really like, since you bring up Bill Gates, his harshest critics can't argue with the fact that he gives a ridiculous amount of money to philanthropy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, regardless, whatever you thought about Microsoft, it does not matter. He gives a ridiculous amount of money to every good cause.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, like, I mean, his mission was to, the Gates Foundation mission was to eliminate, I forget what disease it was. It's like
malaria, wasn't it?
But something, malaria. Yeah, that sounds right to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, from Africa, which, dude, good on it, man.
Yeah.
Good, lofty goal.
Yep. I mean, there's people alive because of Bill Gates, you know?
Seriously, you know, good. And you always hear them talk. Like, they kind of, it's a cliche, but they kind of reach a point in their lives and they're like, I'm going to be the richest man in the cemetery soon. So,
yeah
my children are fine. Their children's children are fine. You know, let's try to actually make something good happen, which I totally respect. Good for him.
But
unlike, you know, other billionaires like, I don't know, McAfee.
He'll kill somebody.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. All right, so Star Wars.
It's now time for me to pass Star Wars on to a new generation of filmmakers, Lucas said in a statement. I've always believed that Star Wars could live beyond me. You got that right. And I thought it was important to set up the transition during my lifetime. Again, absolutely agree. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, dude, I can't, you have no idea how badly it is that I want somebody else to take the Star Wars galaxy and make films out of it. You have no idea.
Well, it's happening, Paul. It's happening.
I know. I get, like, well, because, okay, all respect to Lucas. He is not a good director. He's just not good at it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I mean, most people have kind of grasped this concept. He created this amazing world, no doubt. But, I mean, dude, the three prequels are,
mm-hmm.
like, I suppose the last two were okay. They were fine, but they weren't nearly as good as they needed to be.
No.
You got to do Star Wars more justice than that.
It sounds like they're going to get some really good people to work on this. Like, didn't they already say who the writer was?
Yeah, he wrote, who's that? We can real quick. There's a lot of stuff that's leaked out Star Wars since this. Some of it sounds really cool, and it's all rumor and conjecture. But some of it sounds odd. Like, I heard a rumor the other day that said Disney's going to try and put out, like, 3 Star Wars movies a year.
That's crazy talk. Like,
what?
No, that's not going to happen. I can see them doing a movie every 3 years, and then maybe that live-action TV show that's been talked about for years. Get that on, you know?
Sure. That's one possibility, absolutely. I at least as far as the I guess you could call it the classic canon, they're supposed to release one film every other year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the idea right now, is the next trilogy, which will, by the way, for those who didn't know, actually take place after the events of episode 6. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go with it, because the story that I read, they're putting in, there was some interesting themes, one of which is with the Emperor and Darth Vader dead. You had, and most of their senior staff on the Death Star when it blew up, you have a lot of young kids going into the Empire, because the Empire is not dead technically. It's still around. It's just more or less hampered. And We could talk forever about this, but I'm curious to see who the main bad guy is, because the Empire is not the formidable opponent it once was. Not no. even in the next set of books. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We will see. Shoot, I'm trying to look up the freaking writer.
Okay, while you go ahead and do that, Paul, I wanted to mention something that I hope happens. I hope that this ignites a new war between Star Wars and Star Trek. Like, you know, back in the day, you were either, this is still the case, you're either a Star Wars person or a Star Trek person. I like them both. I prefer Star Trek more than Star Wars, but I like Star Wars just as, I mean, it's good. Sure. So I'm hoping that this ignites something, you know, with the next Star Trek movie coming out. And by the way, I was going to throw this in as an extra. They're going to show the first 9 minutes of the new Star Trek movie during The Hobbit, or before The Hobbit starts, on the IMAX.
Dude, is that real?
Well, not in every theater, on IMAX theaters.
Oh, I wonder. I already pre-ordered my tickets for The Hobbit. I wonder if that's IMAX. I think it is. Dude, if that's the case, that's going to be awesome.
Well, I was thinking today, do I really want to see the first 9 minutes and then not see the rest for a few months?
Yes, you do.
Okay, all right. Well, you convinced
me. I do. Holy crap. Not that it won't be online like 2 seconds later.
So, screenwriter Michael Arndt confirmed to write Star Wars Episode
right.
7.
He wrote Little Miss Sunshine, which won an Academy Awards original screenplay, and was nominated for a Best Adaptive Screenplay with Toy Story 3. And I don't know about you guys. I love Toy Story 3. Like, that was a good movie. Very well done.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, crap.
I'm missing out on a lot of stuff, apparently.
No, I'm worse than you, Inessa. I haven't seen any of the Toy Story, so.
But you don't like animation.
No, I don't.
I do.
Have you seen the first two?
Yes.
It's a very heartfelt, like, just.
I have heard that it'll make you cry.
It will. The end absolutely gets you. Like, and you just forget. You freaking forget these are just toys, and they're, you know, they're just nothing, but it's. Anywho, 2015. Look for it, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Other important things to keep in mind. This is all of LucasArts. This is not only Star Wars, it is Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. So please bear this in mind. The very important point. So we may see, and I understand. Okay. A lot of people have been hating on this idea, really hating on this idea that. You know, Disney is absolutely going to wreck the franchise. Like, they'll do it to make as much money as possible. And everybody knows that that Star Wars is a money-making machine. Like, it will. I don't care. You could make the worst film ever. People are going to go out in groves and watch it. I don't care. It won't matter. And the kids are going to buy the toys and so on and so on and so on. So, first of all, a couple of things you have to keep in mind. One, there are very few companies in the world that could have actually bought LucasArts straight up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Disney is one of the few. And two, let's remember that, I mean, again, all respect to Mr. Lucas, but the three prequels and the new Indiana Jones were not good movies. I mean, the funny thing is very few people will disagree with me on that. you got to let it go. He had to let it go. Yep. It's time to move on. It's time to give it to somebody else. And from the sound of it, at least it sounds like they're trying to do it justice. So I'm okay with that. That's cool. That makes sense. I just hope. I guess this is one of those cases where I choose to be optimistic, because I can totally see a scenario where Disney is not, you know, they just they just gobble it up and spit it out.
No, that's not going to happen. I mean, look what they did with the Marvel Universe. They have made it so right. much better.
Another good point. Disney owns Marvel. Everybody thought the same thing. Everybody thought they were like, hey, this is going to be awful. They're just going to make freaking Iron Man with Mickey ears. That's, yeah, thank you for wrecking my comic book heroes. Straight up didn't happen. Did not happen. They created one of the, like, the build-up to the Avengers. Like, that was an unprecedented move. And mm-hmm. totally expensive. Big risk. Mm-hmm. But freaking paid off.
Yeah. No. What's his face that runs Disney? Is it Michael Eisner? No, it's not Michael Eisner. He ran Disney back in the 1980s or something.
People hated him.
Yeah, I know.
Hated.
Yeah. But the guy that runs it now has got his stuff together, it seems. You know,
he makes the right decisions, it seems like. He puts people in charge that really know what they're doing.
Yeah. Okay, I want to go back to Indiana Jones for a second. I imagine a rebooting of that and redoing the movies with, casted as Indiana Jones, Ryan Gosling. What do you think?
I don't like Gosling, but he's an okay guy. That's the thing.
I don't really
see him as
being indie.
You know what? He's one of those guys who described this to me. I think it was like Key and Peele or some stupid show like that. But he's like a guy that people will project on him the character's thinking. Like, he just has one of those faces. So if he's that brooding guy, people are going to project brooding, and he's going to be a terrific actor. If you think he's going to be funny, they're going to think he's funny. It's just one of those dudes.
Yeah, that's funny.
Who would make a good indie? Dude, that's hard. I would not want to be in that person's shoes.
That would be... I think that we need some more time before they try to do that. I think...
Yeah.
Because, I mean... Harrison Ford is still alive. I don't want to see him...
Barely.
I don't want to see him playing the character again. But still, it's like...
No.
It's like, let's wait till the corpse is cold, you know? Kind of thing.
You might do a bit part kind of a thing. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like the Bond series. Like, you gotta give it to somebody else at some point.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so Star Wars. I'm very excited. I'm very excited.
Yeah, it's going to be a big freaking deal. Like, 2015, man. Oh, did I tell... I told you guys I'm having a son.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes, congratulations.
Yeah. We found out just, was it Tuesday or Wednesday? So, yeah, it's crazy balls.
Are you going to name him a Star Wars character name, aren't you?
No. Well, it got me to thinking about it because in 2015, he's going to be 2. In 2017, he's going to be obviously 4. And I'm like, that kid is getting really close to being, okay, you want me? I really want to go off on another tangent here that maybe we can discuss for a little bit.
Go ahead.
I'm getting Dave's permission. So I'm trying to reboot An Hour of Sleep.
Yeah.
As kind of like my personal journey through this whole thing. Like, I do like these little audio blogs of just me talking about like what this is going to be like raising a kid. And one of the things that I just talked about, one of the things that I wrote about, and I would love some feedback. What is the perfect age for Star Wars? I need to know. Like, this is just one example among many. Like, there's so many culture things that come into play, like all these things that I want to expose them to at the perfect time. But first question is, when is the right age? And two, in what order?
Yeah, that's an even tougher question.
Yeah.
The order would probably be for them the age, but honestly, I think it's kind of hard to just pick an age. Like, okay, your kid shouldn't see Star Wars until they're 6. Because I just think it depends upon the kid and probably their maturity level and understanding of things. Because, I mean, there were a lot of things that I saw as a kid that I understood, but I probably shouldn't have seen. But at the same time, like, it's not like, I don't know. I don't think it really had any major adverse effects of how I turned out as a person, isn't it? So it just really depends on the individual, I think. So
my
that's one you would probably gauge, but I would probably guess around 5-ish, 6.
That seems to be the consensus. It seems like I totally agree with you, Anissa. It's kind of like knowing your kid. And another factor in this is also is like, I don't want it. You just know some little brat is going to spoil it for them. Like, if they don't see it, then some kid in school is just going to be like talking about it.
So you're going to nip it in the bud before that happens.
I don't think I can. If I try to hatch some kind of grand scheme, I just know it's going to backfire.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, it just depends on the kid. I mean, he might be cool with it when he's 4. I don't remember when I first saw Star Wars. But I'm going to guess I probably saw it around 4 or 5, maybe.
Okay, old guy in the room, I'm going to say I saw it when it came out, and I was like, I think 12 or something like that. Maybe younger. I forget. But okay.
Oh, dude.
I have a plan for the order, Paul. It will depend.
Yes, please.
It will depend on how young your kid is. Okay? Because. Right. You know how the trilogy movies are kind of geared more towards a younger, especially Episode 1 is geared towards younger kids, right? Because Anakin is younger and there's all these crazy characters and it's more of a kiddie type movie. So I think depending on how young you introduce Star Wars to the kid, that will determine which order that you go in. And maybe the younger he is, the more he'll understand if it's in that order, Episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I'm concerned. I'm concerned, Dave. This will not be ruined for me.
Yeah, because that could backfire too, because the first 3 movies, the trilogy movies are so bad that might leave a bad taste in his mouth. And
I would say start with 3. Just go from there.
You mean 4?
Or 4, sorry, yeah. 4.
Yeah. That's the way I would do it, just because.
Subway Caters?
Subway Caters. If you're watching.
I would say start with 4, 5, 6, and then go back with
3.
Because that's what I started out with.
That's purist. If you're a purist, that's the way to go.
Yeah. And dude, there's so much other, like, Star Wars is just an example, like, but it's one of those big things that I would feel like I lost out if I missed out on not watching that with my kid.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Yeah. It's like, dude. And by the time the 3rd one comes out, that's going to be like the freaking perfect age. Like when that movie comes out, it'd be crazy. If he's anything, it's going to be like a total geeky household up in here. I feel bad for my wife.
Yeah. All right, let's continue this conversation another time, because we're already at the 52-minute mark and we haven't done our picks yet.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. No, this was a good conversation. I'm glad that we brought it up, and that's a fun thing that you're doing. I'm looking forward to, especially when you get to the point where you're actually getting an hour of sleep a night.
Yeah. Like the last thing I'm going to do, people are going to be asking me, like, why are you recording this? Yeah. I don't know.
It's just going to be this
myself.
It's going to be this just incoherent rambling because you're just exhausted. Yeah.
No sleep.
All right. So let's move on. Let's move on to picks. I'm going to go first. And I saw this movie 2 weeks ago already. So I may have forgotten some key elements, but it was Cloud Atlas. You guys remember seeing previews for this, right?
Sure.
Ish.
Yeah.
I remember catching bits and pieces of the previews, but I don't think I've actually seen them all the way through.
Tom Hanks, Halle Berry, they play different characters.
I remember Tom Hanks is in it.
Yeah, they all play different characters. In fact, there are actors in this that you don't realize they're playing a certain character until the very end. Because at the end of the film, they go through each actor and all the characters they played, bam, 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 in a row. And you're like shocked because there's some like male actors that are playing female roles and vice versa. It's really crazy. So basically, Cloud Atlas tells a story over time with these different characters that are connected in some way. And one of the ways they're connected is there's this journal that's being written, and it's continued on through the ages. Like it starts, the different time periods that the movie takes place in are 1849, 1936, 1973, 2012, 2144, and an undetermined post-apocalyptic age sometime in the far distant future. And they don't go in order necessarily. They go back and forth. Like one scene will be in 1849, and then somehow they will transfer it to the far-flung post-apocalyptic age. And I thought the 2144 time period was very interesting because, to kind of bring it back to the sci-fi angle, 2144 deals with a lot of really cool futuristic tech stuff. And one of the characters is basically a manufactured human, and they have no rights. And she's very integral in the part, or in this film. She plays a huge role in this film, which is kind of cool. And there's like, you know, cars that levitate, you know, and the scene or the part that's in 2144 takes place in Seoul, and it's New Seoul, which is on top of Old Seoul, because Old Seoul is getting inundated with water because the sea levels are rising because of global warming kind of thing. So it's very interesting. I would highly recommend this. I don't know if you'd want to see it in the theater because it's very, very long. So maybe wait until it's out on home video and then watch it then. Some of the other actors in it, I mentioned Halle Berry and Tom Hanks. Also Hugo Weaving, Jim Sturgis, Keith David, Susan Sarandon, and Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant plays some really awesome characters in this. So
I had no idea he was in that.
Yeah. No, it's a cool film. And it was the movie that people thought they could never make because of the whole shifting time periods. But I thought they pulled it off very well. So I'm going to give it my recommendation, Cloud Atlas.
Cool.
So there you go. All right.
Maybe at some point I will check it out.
Yeah. Check it out when it comes out on home video. Home video. DVD or Blu-ray.
Still a home video.
Yeah, your VHS, cassette tape, your
laser
disc.
Laser disc. Those things were huge.
I know. All right, Anessa, what do you got for your recommendation?
I have something I haven't done in a while. I have a short story I'm recommending.
All right.
Yay, short story. Yeah, the short story that I chose is called Marionettes Incorporated, or Marionettes Inc., and it's by Ray Bradbury, and it's included in a book that's a collection of his short stories called The Illustrated Man. I haven't read the other short stories in the book, but I probably will eventually. And the short story is basically about two men who feel that they are trapped in their marriage. One doesn't love his wife anymore, and he doesn't really want to deal with her because, you know, she's not the nicest lady. And the other guy he loves his wife, but his wife is really clingy, and she's always holding onto his hand and sitting on him, and apparently she's not a thin lady, so...
Ah.
He kind of endures some pain whenever she sits on him. So he's just wanting a breather from being loved too much. So anyway, one gentleman, I forget his name, starts with a B.
Hugo Weaving.
Anyway. No, I'm afraid it's Hugo Weaving.
Damn it.
Give me a second.
Darn.
Yeah. Jim.
Brayling. Oh. His name's Brayling. Oh. So Brayling is talking to his friend, I guess last name is Smith. So Brayling's talking to Smith, and Brayling mentions that he wants to go to Rio de Janeiro. And Smith is asking him, well, how would you manage to do that without taking your wife with him? And Brayling says that what he's been doing is he went to this company called Marionettes Incorporated, and he purchased a marionette, like an exact replica of himself, to fill in the times at home. Like, it's basically like, hey, there's this robot that looks exactly like me. I'm going to go outside, and I'm going to enjoy some fresh air and have a night on the town. And yeah, he ends up giving his friend a card and sends him to Marionettes Incorporated. And so the whole thing is they're using these decoys, essentially, to take their places while they go out and live their lives. But things don't really work out the way that they hope that they would.
They never do.
They never do. I recommend it. It's, of course, it's a short story, so it's like 5 pages long. So if you have a couple of minutes, I recommend giving it a read. You can either buy the book, The Illustrated Man, or I did find it online for free. Have a quick read.
And we can find, I'll put it up in the on the Picks page too at galacticnetcast.com. So if you buy it through our Picks page, you can help out the network, help us fund what we do here at Galactic Netcasts. Sounds interesting, Anessa.
It is. And of course, it's by Ray Bradbury. A lot of people have at least hopefully heard of that name. If they haven't, it's a good introduction to his writing style. So
yeah, exactly. So basically, the marionette was a robot. They're robots.
Right. They're robots.
Got it.
That's how they fit the theme of the podcast.
All right. Now, Paul, how is yours going to fit in?
How is mine going to fit in? It's going to fit in because we're going to make it fit in.
Okay. I'm picking the crowbar.
I'm picking Fringe. Like, we had Aaron and I decided to check out Amazon Prime service versus the Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And Fringe is not on Netflix right now, but it is on Prime. So, I started checking out, and I really enjoy it so far. It's really cool. I'm about way through the first season.
Is this your first time watching it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd never seen any of them.
Another thing I haven't seen.
It only... Oh, shame on you. Shame on you. It only gets better. So
for the night.
Yeah. I was shaming Anessa during the Alien Invasion podcast too. But no,
I haven't seen lots of things. Yeah,
Fringe, the first season is okay. It only gets better. It gets super, so much better after the first season. So if you like it now, you're going to love it second season.
I do like it. I mean, I like the characters. It's very character driven. Mm-hmm. So it's very weird. Don't get me wrong. It's very weird. Like, there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens. It's kind of like people have described it as kind of like a hybrid of the Twilight Zone and the X-Files. And mm-hmm. that is an accurate description.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. It's well written. The science, of course, is crazy. Easy, but it's supposed to be crazy.
Mm-hmm. So, and it was the return of Pacey to TV. So that, you know, it's a win-win.
Who?
Pacey.
Pacey from Dawson's Creek.
That's what's his face? His character.
Oh, you mean Josh Hutson?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pacey.
See, Pacey. That's the thing. I'm in case it wasn't obvious from that last exchange, I'm not a fan. But I think he does a pretty good job.
Yeah.
I got to give him credit on that. He does a pretty good job.
And he only gets better. Like, his Like you'll really love the relationship that builds between he and his father as the series goes on. It only gets better.
That's one aspect that I just hadn't thought about at all. I'm like, I didn't realize that you had this sort of disenfranchised relationship between a. But you know what's funny about the show is geniuses. Every one of them. They're all like amazingly smart, more so than anybody should be. So you have a very eccentric and brilliant dad and a let's say, how to put this, a son who has misspent his youth and a lot of very hurt feelings regarding that.
But he's still super smart and... this is not a spoiler, but we never really find out what he did before the show. It's never revealed.
It's all innuendo. It's all just saying that he, you know, another kind of funny thing. It's like, it's just one of those things where he says, how to put it. He's like, well, yeah, I owe a guy. I definitely have been on the other side of that table, talking about an interrogation table, or like, you know, I've owed a few people money who I shouldn't have, probably referencing like the mob or something.
Yep, exactly. You know, it'll only get weirder as it goes on, Paul.
Yeah, I believe you. Well, yeah, and. The thing is that one thing that does get kind of tired, and I don't know if they do anything about this, is that they always say it's very theoretical and just like, it could happen. In theory, this will work.
I'm not going to say anything.
And it always works.
I'm not going to say anything.
All right.
Cool.
So yeah, Fringe. Look at it.
Awesome. Good job, guys. Thanks for your recommendations. To review, Fringe Season 1, Marionettes, Inc. by Ray Bradbury, and Cloud Atlas. Good variety this week. We had a short story, we had a TV show, and we had a movie. Good cross-section. All right, so before we wrap up, we have to ask the question of the week. And whenever I prep the show, I like to do themes, so... Keeping with the Star Wars theme from earlier, here is this week's question. What job would you like to have in the Star Wars universe, and which side would you want to be on? Paul.
I don't take sides, sir. I'm a bounty hunter. Pay me. I will take the rebel scum, or I will kill the imperialist pig dogs. I don't care.
Plus, you get to wear that awesome costume. Uniform, whatever that is. You get to fly around. Jetpack.
But I want a cooler ship than Boba Fett's. I never understood that ship. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. All right, Anessa, you?
I want to be a bartender.
Do you want to work?
Star Wars Universe.
Do you want to work at the cantina in episode 4?
I do. I mean, I like to people watch. And you get a lot of different customers. Get to see how they interact with each other. And I don't really think there'd be a whole lot of dull moments. So.
And you get to kick the droids out. No droids allowed here.
You do. So. There you go. I would like to be the bartender.
And you could be a witness to see who
you
shot
see
first.
A lot.
See who shot first. So.
All right, cool. Well, my answer is an X-Wing fighter and working with the Rebels. But I was thinking about this. I've got to be somewhat good if I'm going to survive, you know? Because a lot of those X-Wing fighters, pilots, didn't make it.
Dime a dozen.
On the attack of the Death Star, you know?
Yeah. Really get out there and practice.
Okay, I'm gonna change my answer. I wanna be a co-pilot on the Millennium Falcon because I wanna jump into that tube and shoot that gun, that turret gun.
Don't get cocky.
So that's our question of the week. If you want to answer, let us know. 805-328-3966. What job would you like to have in the Star Wars universe? GalacticNetcasts@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe by going to subscribe.galacticnetcast.com and go on to iTunes, give us a favorable review. We'd appreciate that, and give us a 5-star, because the more 5-stars and more favorable reviews we get, the more subscribers we get. That's how it works. It's not a perfect system, but that's the game that we play, right?
It works.
Yeah.
We're fine.
All right, so that's going to do it for this Galactic Netcast, Time Traveling Robots in Space, number 50. And of course, as always, final thoughts. Anessa goes first.
I don't really have a final thought.
You could, you could say, you could keep it with the Star Wars theme and go, "May the Force be with you." That could be it.
I could say, "May the Force be with you."
Okay.
And although I was thinking of "So Say We All," but there wasn't really anything that ended with a "So Say We All" note.
No.
Unless I let Paul go first, and then I say "So Say We All," which doesn't really go with Star Wars. It goes with Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah. But still, it's in space.
It is in space.
And Cylons were robots.
They were.
Mm-hmm.
Were.
All right, so maybe Paul does his final thought, and then you can do yours. We'll do it the other way around this week. So, Paul.
All right. We exit each other.
So see we all.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Yes.
Bye.
Happy holidays. Bye.
Have plenty of turkey. Gobble, gobble.
Go for it.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.